It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Verrett. A research team led by a Carthage College physicist has won a prize from NASA worth up to $500,000. They're one of only 10 selected in the nation for the NASA Tech Leap Prize.
The Carthage team is developing new hardware and an innovative way to do in-space refueling. Their work will ultimately help to pave the way for sustained missions to the moon and Mars.
But the timeline for developing their payload is tight, and NASA is also dark during the government shutdown.
Kevin Crosby is a professor of physics, astronomy, and computer science at Carthage College and director of the Wisconsin Space Grant Consortium. Kevin, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
And Samaje Farmer is here, a senior majoring in physics at Carthage College. He completed a summer internship at NASA's Johnson Space Center, working on research to make in-space refueling more efficient. Samaje, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Kevin, NASA awarded this prize for your research on microgravity ullage trapping. And for those of us who aren't around space shuttles and launch pads, can you give us a working knowledge of what this research is?
Sure, yeah. So it essentially draws back to a really difficult and unsolved problem in getting folks to the moon, which is that we don't know how to refuel spacecraft. Nobody's ever done that before. So part of the so-called Artemis mission architecture, Artemis is the program that will put folks back on the moon for the first time since 1972, has these technology roadblocks, things that are unsolved, one of which is refueling. And so our contribution to that problem is this method of being able to move the gas portion inside the propellant tank to one end of the tank so you can release the pressure when you are refilling liquid from the other end. So we're essentially pushing bubbles around like a leaf blower inside the tank. And our idea is fairly unique. So it got some attention from this competition.
Samaje, I mean, you've been working on this for a while now. Why is servicing propellant tanks really important? I think you've called it like the plumbing end of space. Why is this so critical?
Because if we want to start doing more large scale missions, like going beyond the moon and going to Mars and places like that, then we can't just keep throwing away our fuel tanks after we're done with them. We need to start building up a more sustainable infrastructure for these kinds of things. And the easiest way to start that is to get this refueling thing settled, because we can't go all the way to Mars and then come all the way back safely if we have to load up the rocket with so much fuel. Instead, we just want to be able to refuel it when it gets there so that it has the fuel it needs to return after the mission's over.
Kevin, this research, you've been awarded $500,000 to continue it for NASA. How will the money be spent?
This is kind of a unique situation for us because it is a prize instead of a grant. Normally, NASA awards grants, but more recently, for some of the more daunting technology challenges, they've sort of opened up this prize competition where you can essentially propose a good idea and get funded on a very short time scale. So unlike a grant where it may be many months before you get the money and then several years to do the research, here we are expected to develop flight hardware from blank piece of paper all the way through mission readiness in a period of less than a year. So this is essentially 9 months. And so this funding is going to pay for labor. We have a collaboration with Georgia Tech, so some of the money goes there. But a lot of it is really going into the actual development of hardware that's going to fly, hopefully, in space next year.
I was so surprised by the short timeline. Like, how do you get your hardware ready for flight all through those certifications by April?
That is a question that we wrestle with every day. In fact, we'll have our team meeting today with our Georgia Tech colleagues, and we just do status updates, and we keep, like any project, we keep updating the schedule, and usually things get pushed a little bit to the right as we figure out we don't know how to do things we thought we knew how to do, but we'll get there. We've done this before, never on such a tight timeline, but we've had plenty of projects that have gotten to the flight line, gotten to launch, just because we've got really creative students who are pushing the envelope here.
Not to mention, Kevin, that NASA is closed due to the government shutdown. How much of an obstacle is that for your research team and being able to push ahead with what you're creating here?
That's a bit of a wrinkle, for sure. One aspect of this program that is really helpful here is that it is a prize. And so we've been awarded a portion of the funds already, so we're not necessarily sidelined by the government shutdown. We do have site visits that are part of our due diligence here. And so a team from NASA was supposed to come earlier, actually this week was our scheduled site visit. And that has been postponed until the shutdown ends. But we'll have a group of folks coming to check out our hardware and make sure we're we're making progress toward goal here pretty soon.
Samaje, how do you get ready for a site visit and how are students a part of that?
It's interesting for me. This is my first time kind of dealing with something like this. But for me, I'm mainly just trying to make sure that, number one, our labs look good, because things can get kind of chaotic as we're working on not just the Tech Lead project, but some of the other Carthage projects. And so that's kind of our main goal, is to make sure everything looks good and make sure that we have the stuff that NASA wants to see ready for them when they show up.
Samaje, how might working on these real problems in space travel, how might that inform your career journey and what you hope to do next in life?
For me, I'd say a lot of it is just learning how to learn, for lack of better words. All of this is new. No one's really done what we're doing before. And so a lot of it is reading up on other studies and on other research projects that other professionals have done, and trying to find ways to creatively apply that to what we're doing here. And that kind of work, I think, is going to be very beneficial moving on, just to be able to come up with these creative solutions to new problems.
Kevin, when I think of refueling, a lot is on the line. Fuel is something that is so important to get us into space travel and to complete a mission. But you're also dealing with the fuel itself. Can you talk about the tensions there of the chemicals you have to deal with?
Sure. Yeah. As Samaje said, the idea is, you know, we don't want to throw away the rocket every time you run out of fuel, just as we don't toss the airline, you know, the jet after it lands in San Francisco. You don't throw it away when you're done with it. So this is a really serious obstacle toward building sustained human presence in space. On our end of it, we are not at the point where we're dealing with the very toxic propellant commodities that are actually planned for these missions. We're doing everything with simulants, so there's no danger to ourselves in the lab or anybody on the test campaigns. When we fly these in space, we use simulants that mimic the properties of the propellants but don't go boom in the night and can be handled safely by all of us.
But you could also be able to have simulations for what you're creating. Is that right? These parabolic flights?
Yeah, that's a really interesting aspect of our work. For about 20 years now, our laboratory has been the parabolic flight, the aircraft that delivers the parabolic flights. And this is a modified, currently it's a modified 727. And it essentially does these roller coaster maneuvers in the sky, and we're not in space. So in that sense, it's simulated, but we are experiencing true microgravity just in 22 second bursts. So the pilots maneuver the plane to create these rolling dives that essentially give us a free fall trajectory. And we do it over and over and over again, about 30 times for every flight. And that's our laboratory. That's how we test these technologies. At least that's how we have tested them for the last 20 years. Recently, in the last 10 years, the commercial suborbital market has come alive. So there are companies that provide actual access to space for our payloads, and that's slightly longer time scales. And so we've been flying on Blue Origin's New Shepard, and we have missions on Virgin Galactic, another provider of this of suborbital space access. So that's one of the great things about working in this field, is that your laboratory is kind of an interesting place, and it's up in the sky somewhere.
We're talking about a $500,000 NASA Prize for Research at Carthage College with Kevin Crosby, Carthage Astronomy Professor, and Samaje Farmer is here, a Carthage senior majoring in physics. Samaje, you have completed a summer internship at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston. Can you tell us a highlight or what you took away from it?
For me, the highlight was very much the environment there. I've had the opportunity to intern at many different places, just some, you know, regular run-of-the-mill corporate offices. And being at NASA, you see so much more passion in the work that they're doing there. And being there kind of gave me a nice guide for where I want to go in my future and the kind of environment that I want to work in. So that's the real highlight for me.
Kevin, you know, we've seen the White House's proposed budget cuts for NASA that could erase billions of dollars in funding for its science programs, for staff. Where do you see the agency's future going?
Yeah, I don't think that those cuts will materialize. I mean, I really certainly hope they don't. NASA, every dollar of investment into NASA returns 7 to 10-fold just in the economic value of the innovation that comes from trying to do hard things. So even though we're talking about problems in space, a lot of what even the small projects that we've been involved in have had translations to solving problems here on Earth. And that's, you know, really typical of NASA. There's an entire portion of the agency dedicated to these things, these technology spin-offs. And most people are unaware when they put on a pair of sunglasses or they use the camera on their phone or they feed infant formula to their baby that they are really benefiting from these technologies that were developed by NASA or through NASA during the early days of the Apollo missions all the way through shuttle. So these kinds of cuts would be devastating, not just to NASA, but to the world and to the country.
The research we're talking about is prize money, but what have you seen happen to grants? What do you have your eye on there?
Yeah, grants have been obviously heavily impacted by executive orders over the past year. We've had a lot of our grants stopped and rescinded in some cases. We've had to retool and resubmit to essentially abide by the language requirements of these executive orders that have come from the administration. So I would say that the flow of funding and therefore the pace of research and the pace of education, because NASA is also an advocate and a supporter and a center of STEM education for this country. All of that has been affected negatively by the attack on these agencies and the executive orders around grants.
Why does NASA need to reach out to small colleges like yours to get the innovation, the development, this hardware, you know, for its spacecraft needs?
Well, I think the great thing about these prize competitions and about working with NASA itself is that they're not reaching out to small colleges necessarily. They're just accepting that there might be some good ideas at places other than the traditional gatekeepers. And so they have been very, very accepting of our proposals. And we've been invited to participate in several programs, technology development programs, education programs, that, normally you'd think of as being the purview of some of the larger institutions. But NASA just likes good ideas, and they're willing to take them wherever they can find them.
Samaje, I've heard Carthage College called the home of NASA in Wisconsin. What impact has this research had, you know, when you were thinking about colleges and where you wanted to go?
It had a fairly large impact. It was definitely unsure. Because that phrase is used, but the people who use it oftentimes aren't very involved in what we actually do in the research lab. So when the representative at my college fair was saying it, it sounded so cool to me, but I didn't know exactly what that entailed. And so for me, the main draw was just the fact that it was NASA. And so regardless of what the work was, if I get my foot in the door, and I get that NASA stamp on my resume, and I'm able to say that I have these experiences, then I just knew it would be invaluable one way or another.
And Kevin, you direct the Wisconsin Space Grant Consortium at Carthage. You know, what makes Carthage stand out for space research in our state, and how is that consortium doing?
The consortium is doing well. Obviously, we are watching the shutdown unfold, and that is of great concern. The administration has proposed canceling all of NASA's education efforts. We don't think that will happen. We have traditionally had really bipartisan and bicameral support for not just education, but specifically for the space grant program, which has returned a large amount of revenue and kept students in the state, placed them in industry within the state. So it's a very powerful program at the state level. There's one in every state. We provide essentially cradle to grave funding for K-12 outreach, undergraduate scholarships and graduate fellowships, internships with NASA, and faculty funding. So it's really sort of a one-stop shop for STEM educators and researchers to get seed funding to start projects like this.
As you work on this microgravity refueling hardware and the innovation behind it, you mentioned some private space companies earlier. I'm wondering how this technology is it that you're developing, is it proprietary to NASA? Would you end up working with SpaceX and Blue Origin, Boeing? How does that work?
Yeah, nothing is essentially proprietary to NASA. NASA's mission, of course, is in part to build the space economy. So in many cases, they are looking to transfer these technologies to companies. So they're not asserting any rights over the technologies or preventing us from working with other customers. In fact, with previous projects, some of our technologies have sort of graduated to commercial space and are being tested or employed in various capacities by commercial partners.
That's really must be really exciting to see how, you know, your innovations can be used not just in space, but in other realms as well.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, I love working with these emerging companies who are much more focused. They can operate on much shorter timelines than the federal government can. But they, of course, then benefit from this paving the way, this building of the economy that NASA really does. Case in point is what we call LEO, or low Earth orbit, which has been dominated in the past by, you know, NASA vehicles and NASA missions and NASA satellites. But over the last 15 years, NASA has ceded that space intentionally to commercial interests. And now there's, you know, multi-billion-dollar economy in an infrastructure that's commercially owned and not NASA owned.
Well, Kevin and Samaje, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been great.
Of course. Thank you.
Kevin Crosby is a professor of physics, astronomy, and computer science at Carthage College and director of the Wisconsin Space Grant Consortium. Samaje Farmer is a senior majoring in physics at Carthage. He completed a summer internship at NASA's Johnson Space Center working on research to make in-space refueling more efficient. And we've been learning about a $500,000 prize from NASA to Carthage College for new space tech research.